Today specifically, I want to look at the fact that we can celebrate God's protection. God wants us to celebrate. He wants us to go forward in what he has. And when we celebrate his protection, it is actually an act of faith and worship to celebrate what he's done. Many times we will, call as many people as we can because there's a prayer need, right? You're on the phone or you're on social media. Pray, you got to pray. This is happening. This is going on. And then when the answer comes, we don't call up all the people. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes you call the pastor, we need prayer, and it's, a month later, I find out, well, I guess they're still alive. Everything's good. But I want to tell you what, we should be just as conscious to celebrate the good news, the answered prayer, when it comes. And yes, we celebrate the rain. I know if you lived here many years, you might have been here in 2011 when the whole town got evacuated and half the town burnt with fire. And it wasn't fun. And you don't want to be evacuated. I have two teenage girls, and they were really young. They don't remember us being evacuated in 2011. And every once in a while, they'd be like, oh, their fires are coming close. I hope we get evacuated so we don't have to go to school and we can get out of Slave Lake. I'm like, no. That's the wrong. You don't hope that. But God does protect his people. And that's why we celebrate what he does. But let me get into it. How does God protect us? Now, first of all, I'll give you a really clear scripture about God saying, hey, celebrate my protection. And that's in Psalm 5:11. It says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. So here is the psalmist saying, you should be joyful, rejoicing, singing about God's protection. A refuge was a place that they could go to be safe from the enemy. There was cities of refuge. There was strong towers where they could take refuge. And so a place of refuge is where you would be safe from the enemy. And here he's saying, those who take refuge in you, Lord, let them rejoice, let them sing praises. So we should celebrate about his protection. Sometimes we take for granted what he does for us. Sometimes we just go through life and we're like, we expect it. We just, we deserve it. And we don't even know sometimes what God has done for us or doing for us, especially in the area of protection. But I want us to be aware, and I want us to be kids that are thankful to their daddy for good things. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. As believers, we're not supposed to be spoiled brats. A spoiled child, right, their father or their mother gives them everything pretty soon. They don't even say thank you, and they just feel like they deserve it. And if it doesn't come fast enough, they're like, where's my big allowance? What do you mean I can't have the car? That attitude of entitlement, let's not be like that. Let's every day get up and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your protection. But God totally and completely looks out for us many times when we don't even know. This was a number of years ago, and my wife headed to the city with one of our daughters, who at the time was about 3, and in the car seat in the back, and my wife's driving, and she's driving back to Slave Lake. And, as she's driving, she's behind a big semi, and another vehicle comes this way, flying down the road, and he had wood in the back of his truck, but, it wasn't tarped down. And there was an oak cabinet door. And as they're flying by, the oak cabinet door blew out and came straight through the windshield on the driver's side. And all she did was shout, Jesus! And she pulled over. And wouldn't you know, the oak door came through, broke through the window at head level, and split in half, went on either side of her. There was chunks of it stuck in the seat. And there was a chunk stuck under the feet of the 3-year-old in the car seat. And she happened to have her feet up playing at that moment. She pulls over. The semi driver pulled over that was in front, and he was like, oh, no. He came to the vehicle, and he was shaking because he was sure he was going to find something really horrible. And he actually said to her, I can't believe you guys are totally okay. At that moment in Slave Lake where I was, I called my wife because I felt something's not okay. I got to call her. I called her, and she's like, I was just in an accident. I was like, what? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. But the ambulance is coming. I'll talk to you later. And she hung up. Anyhow, God totally protected her. When she screamed Jesus, she got a little bit of glass in her mouth, a little bit of glass on her face, and none of it was, they just pulled it off. And you can look today, she has no scars. She's totally beautiful, I tell you. Thank you, dear. God protects us. You see, God protects us all the time. Now, those are stories where we realized we needed protection, but how many times do you drive down the highway and God is just shielding, moving things away, nothing comes near you? Honestly, thank the Lord when you have good trips. Rejoice and say, you know, God has always got us. Because you don't need a horrible story. You can just say, yeah, we go to the city and come back, and it's good every time. You know, he is looking after you. So celebrating God's protection, there's a few things we can celebrate his protection from, actually. I'm going to look at three of those today, just so that you're aware and that you can be thanking and celebrating. One thing, we can celebrate God's protection from people. Now, I know you're like, what? People, yes, I don't want to discourage anybody, but not everybody likes you. Okay, sorry to tell you that. There are going to be people that are jealous and may even want to be an enemy, and it's not even your fault. It's unfortunately a part of life, but God can protect you even from people that don't like you. Well, of course, the Bible has a lot to say about that, but let's look at a story in Exodus chapter 14. And before I read, let me go here. Just explaining a little bit before. You see, God's people were slaves in Egypt, and he brought them out of Egypt, Moses leading them, through quite an amazing story. We won't go into all of it today, though. But he brings them out. They begin hiking through the wilderness in the desert, and they come to the Red Sea. And as they're at the Red Sea, they look up, and wouldn't you know, Pharaoh has decided to bring chariots and horses, and he's trying to recapture them and make them slaves again. And verse 10 is where we'll start reading, Exodus 14:10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Wow. These people were slaves for many years, and the thought of being freedom, they couldn't even grasp it. And you know, I have found out over the years that if you've been a slave to something, it is not an easy thing to get out, to get free. Many times people have been stuck in addiction. You're going to have to fight to get out. And the old mind is where the biggest fight is. And so often, the old enemy will try to make you think, well, it was better back then. But that's a lie. And God is not going to let people defeat you. Maybe you're in a situation where at work it seems like everybody's against you. And you're thinking, this is going to be bad. I don't know what to do. This is what you need to do. The same thing they did. Listen to what Moses tells them. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. I'm going to give you a little tip. All the men who are married here today, do not tell your wife to stay calm. Don't tell her to calm down. That is a bad idea. All the men are just silent. Some of you are in trouble this morning. You didn't even laugh. You're like, don't look. Sorry I went there. But, you know, if your wife is feeling passionate, you're like, just calm down, woman. You are in trouble. Like, but Moses told the people, don't panic. Be still, it says in another version. Be calm. You see, when people are fighting against you, if you panic and you start thinking crazy things, the next thing, you become the issue. You're going all crazy, but things may not be exactly how you're imagining them. And little, instead of your job going well and you progressing forward, everybody just sees you acting really crazy. So don't go there. Don't panic. Remain calm. I can say this right now. Remain calm. Don't panic. Okay? God has a plan. And then he says this, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff. Raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. You see, when you are having people come against you, there is something you need to do. Remain calm and keep moving forward. Don't get in a place of depression and just quit. Keep moving forward in the direction that God has last told you. And keep doing your best. When you do that, the enemy will be defeated, guaranteed. And sometimes you find out it really wasn't how you thought. But because you continued to move forward, you're in a better place than you were anyhow. Now, in this case, there definitely was an enemy, and they definitely needed to move forward. And so God's people, you know, Moses stretches out the staff. It says there was a wind all night, and the water became a wall on either side of them through the sea. They went through on dry ground. As they're coming up the other side, the Egyptians decide they're going to come in to chase them to be slaves. I know this actually surprises me. The Egyptians were smart people, but that's really dumb. That is obviously an act of God if there's a wall of water on either side fighting for these people and you're going to go after them? That is, how shall we say, stupid. But the enemy sometimes just refuses to quit until God says quit. And sometimes people are blinded by their anger or their jealousy. And they don't even realize what they're doing, but you don't have to panic. You be you. And wouldn't you know it? God deals with the situation, the waves come back in, and the enemy is no more. And in this situation, they had a great celebration because of God's protection. And again, I want to tell you this, if you've gone through some stuff, take time to celebrate when you get on the other side. Take time to celebrate. Moses and Miriam and the people, they celebrated. Moses and Miriam wrote a song. They wrote a song about the horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is God and he has triumphed marvelously. And it says that Miriam took a tambourine and all the ladies went with her and they played the tambourine and they danced, celebrating the victory, God's protection. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you danced in celebrating something good God has done for you? I tell you, I did a little dance when I heard my wife was okay and that thing went through the window and missed everybody. I was like, oh, God is good. When's the last time you really said, thank you, Lord, for what you've done? I want you to open up your eyes around you on a daily basis and see what God's doing for you and get excited. The more you do it, the more exciting life becomes because you realize he's always at work. As the song says, even when I don't see it, he's still working. He's always at work on our behalf, and we can celebrate. Romans 8:31 says, what can we say about all this? If God is on our side, can anyone be against us? You see, his protection is the greatest protection of all time. I mean, if you were a billionaire and you could hire the best bodyguards and the CIA, whatever you needed, it wouldn't compare to him. He is all powerful and he's your protection. That's an amazing thing. If God is for you, there's nobody more powerful. You see, every name has to bow to the name of Jesus. That's Every person must one day bow to his name. Nobody can be against us. Hebrews 13:6. So we say this with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What a statement. What can mere mortals do? But how easy is it to become afraid of people? Well, they have authority. They're in a place where, man, if they start talking, they'll ruin me. That person has so much influence. What? They're going to go on social media and they're going to run down me or my business. Or just don't panic. They don't have all to say. The God you serve does. And you don't have to be afraid. Psalm 37 and 34. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. I have seen the wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I looked again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. The Lord is our protector. He looks after us. He saves us. You continue on that path. You continue being obedient, and I trust you. He will watch over you. Psalm 3, verse 1. There are so many psalms. It's amazing, but let me read you another one. Psalm 3, verse 1. And this is David in this psalm, and he says, I have a lot of enemies, Lord. Many fight against me and say, God won't rescue you. But you are my shield, and you give me victory and great honor. I pray to you, and you answer from your sacred hill. I sleep and wake up refreshed because you, Lord, protect me. 10,000 enemies attack from every side, but I am not afraid. Come and save me, Lord God. Break my enemies' jaws and shatter their teeth because you protect and bless your people. This is a psalm of David, and at the time when he wrote this, he was actually being chased from his kingdom by his son, Absalom. His son was taking the throne, and David was on the run. His son was getting the army together to go kill his dad so he could have the throne. Now that's people being an enemy, and that is painful when it's family. And God will deal with it. Now it's interesting, if you read some of the Psalms, even of David, I mean, he's like, wipe out my enemies, destroy them. And some pretty harsh language even about how to destroy them. But here he is, saying more of a sense, smack him upside the head really hard if necessary. I think maybe it was because it was his son. Has anybody here ever been a fighter back in the day, or you know about fighting a little bit? A few people, yeah. They got scars on their knuckles. Well, I'm glad you're here. But if somebody is hit hard enough in the jaw, it can shatter teeth. I learned this from experience, and no, I'm not a fighter, don't worry. But I was working in a mill one time, and I was pretty new to the mill, didn't really know how it all worked, but this guy told me, he said, okay, if this lift of lumber that's coming down jams here at this spot, you just take this 2x6 and you just hit it like that, and it'll unjam. I said, well, I didn't know any better, so I'm like, okay, so I had this 2x6 and I hit it like this. It came unjammed, all right, and the whole lift of lumber hit the end of the 2x6. Does anybody know how a lever works? A lift of lumber is heavy, and I'm not. I had a hold of that board, but it came up and hit me under the chin, and I had my teeth gritted because I was doing it. I flew about 15 feet back, landed on my back, hard hat flying off, and I got up spitting out some pieces of teeth. So yes, if you're hit on the jaw hard enough, you will shatter teeth. Don't worry, I was okay. It was just a couple of teeth in the back. But isn't it interesting that David in this case is like, oh, God, deal with my enemies, but be merciful because this is my son. I'd like to tell you that's all that happened. But unfortunately, his son was, well, I'm going to kill my father or else. And God dealt with him and he did not survive. You know, you and I want to encourage you, when there are enemies in your life, don't pray for their destruction. Pray for their salvation. Pray for God to be merciful, because you see, we wanted to be merciful to us. We all have a past. We've all messed up. And I want to encourage you, when there are enemy situations, continue being obedient. Pray for them to be changed, transformed, even saved. And if they refuse or they continue on, God will deal with them. You don't have to. But you keep a good heart. You keep your mind and your heart in the right place and let God look after it. You see, we can celebrate God's protection from people, and we can remain calm, and we can remain in faith. Did you know that faith and fear are opposites, but they're kind of both similar? You see, faith believes that God's got it and good things are ahead. Fear believes that God's going to forsake me and bad things are coming. That's what fear is. Fear actually believes that the worst scenario is about to take place. When someone's in fear and you talk to them, they are believing that this is about to happen and it's really bad. When someone is in faith, they are believing this is going to happen and it's really good. And did you notice you walk and act different when you have faith and when you have fear? When you fear, you close up, you shut down, you hide out, and life doesn't go so well. When you have faith, you rise up, you bloom, you go forward, and things go well. So in this sense of knowing God's got it and God's protecting, have faith. You see, we can celebrate God's protection also from evil. We live in a world where there is a spiritual side. There are angels and there are demons and there is actual evil that doesn't want you to succeed. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So yes, there unfortunately is evil. Psalm 23, that well-known psalm. Let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been in a place where you walked into a room or a house or even a location and you felt an evil presence? Anybody? Anybody ever experienced that? Quite a few people. It's real. We know that. And I've had that happen from time to time. I remember a situation. I traveled for a number of years with my father-in-law before he passed away. And we were doing a tent meeting in a location where they'd never had a gospel tent. And when we drove into that area where we were supposed to set up the tent, you could feel an evil presence. And I learned lots from my father-in-law, and he didn't really care. He was not afraid of evil. And he knew we were there to bring light to the darkness. And we set up that tent in a location where they did other witchcraft activities. That's the area they told us we could set it up. So we did. We set the tent up there, and the first day when we were there at the tent, along comes a gentleman who is into witchcraft and kind of the guy in the area who does their witchcraft. And he's wearing a big black cowboy hat, and he comes walking in. By the way, if you have a big black cowboy hat, that's not evil. I just want to say that. But this guy happened to have a big black cowboy hat. And he comes in, and he is not happy, and he's basically saying, we're not going to let you do this. And he left. Well, that night, as we're about ready to start service, all of a sudden, off to the, I think it was sort of west direction, there's this dark black cloud, and it kind of starts to spin. The wind starts to pick up. My father-in-law and I are outside the tent, and he just says, in Jesus' name. He rebuked whatever that was, and it took off the other direction, and the tent was just fine. And I can tell you this, whatever other things happened, evil has no power over God's people. And that gentleman with the big black hat ended up accepting Christ at that tent meeting, as well as a number of other people. So praise God. Do not be afraid of evil, but yes, it's real. God has given you authority, and you can know that you don't have to be afraid. He protects you. He watches over you. 1 John 5:18, we are sure God's children do not keep on sinning. God's own son protects them, and the devil cannot harm them. He says quite a bit in there. Obviously, you and I as believers, as we come to Christ, we want to walk in a way that is pleasing to him, and we don't continue in sin. But we also know that God's son protects us, and that the devil cannot harm us. You see, by the Holy Spirit, we have God's presence in us when we are believers. And because of that, we can know that we are protected as we walk forward in him. Jesus gave his followers authority over evil and over demons. Listen to Luke 10:17, Jesus talking to his followers. He sent out 70 followers, gave them power to heal, and they come back and say this. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, Jesus said this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did you know that the word all in Greek and Hebrew means all? That was deep, eh? You guys are like, whoa. All. Not just some of the power of the enemy. Not just one level. All. All. No matter how ugly, no matter how big, no matter how loud, no matter how stinky. I don't know where that came from. All. If you've ever been in serious situations with spiritual stuff, there is a smell as well. That's why I said that. And some people get more scared when they see things or, you know, stuff happens. Doesn't matter. You just remember, oh, he's giving me power over all. Okay? All. And that power that he's given over all is for those who are following him. You know, there is a scripture, a bit of a story in the New Testament where seven brothers decide they're going to go around and set people free from demons by the name of Jesus that Paul preached. In other words, they didn't know Jesus. They just saw that Paul did this, and so they thought they'd do the same thing. And they tried to do this with a man who was possessed, and it said that they all seven of them were beaten up and their clothes ripped off them and they went running out of the house. What was that? That was somebody who didn't know Jesus trying to do their own thing by just using a name. You see, using Jesus' name or in his authority doesn't mean you just say his name. It means you're one of his and you understand the authority he's given. Everybody good with that? So don't be afraid. He's got you. And I'm not going to tell any more stories about that because, you know, some of you might be new here. And you're like, I don't know about this. I'll leave it alone. But I do want to say this. We can celebrate God's protection. And when God does great things, I mean, the story I told you, that's a way of celebrating many years later what God has done in that area where we went. And it happened again and again and again. You see, we can also celebrate God's protection from catastrophe. There is many scriptures. Now, this is not people. This is not evil. It's maybe you'd call natural disasters or catastrophe. God also protects his people from that. Psalm 91, verse 9. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways. Did you know that you have angels that look out for you? God will command his angels to look out for you. So when you're walking through difficult things or you're walking through trouble, you have angels around and they're protecting you. So can I say this? Walk like you got a couple angels there with you. Boy, it makes walking a lot better. It also makes you careful where you walk. If you got a couple angels there walking with you, I don't suggest going into the bar to go party. But now we could get into some really messed up theology if I go here, so we won't. But you do have angels looking out for you. I've heard a number of different stories, read stories about people who didn't even know that they had angels protecting them, and others that were trying to do them harm were like, who are those two big guys with you? Two big, I didn't have anybody with me. Yes, you did. That's angels. And yes, angels can be seen if they choose to be seen. And often angels appear in the form of humans. So maybe you've seen angels and didn't know. Scripture says we should entertain strangers or be hospitable to strangers because some have entertained angels unaware. They just thought it was people. Interesting, right? All right, I'll let you think about that. You're protected. Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now the Lord says this, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Do you know that God doesn't just call you as, oh, you over there? He doesn't just say, oh, the guy in the purple shirt. That's not what he said. He calls your name. Somebody who knows you well enough to call your name, they know where you are, where your heart, and they are looking out for you. They are protecting you, and they say, you're mine. I like that. It's not so much you saying, yeah, I chose to follow God. Yes, you did, but you came into his family, and now he turns around and says, you're mine. Oh, and he's watching out for you. He's protecting you. He's looking after your stuff. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched and the flame won't burn you. I'm going to say this straight as I can say it. Serving God doesn't mean you'll never go through any troubles or there'll never be things come your way, but according to his word, they will not overwhelm you. They will not overtake you. They won't wipe you out. You can trust him. He's got you. I read a story of a missionary gentleman in another country who had to get to a village across a river. And God had told him, I need you to get there. And so he had some people with him from the area and their stuff. And they got to the edge of this river and he said, we're going to cross over there. And the people from the area said, no, you're not. This is flood season. You will die before you cross that river. It's deep and it's strong currents. And there's all kind of nasty animals in there like alligators. And he said, no, God said, we are supposed to go. Let's go. He'll take us through. And they started in at the edge, and the water was to their knees. And they continued, and they continued, and they crossed the entire river, the water never going past their knees. Because God said, it won't overflow you. And they believed it. That's called walking on water up to your knees. God can do anything. You don't need to be afraid. And natural things, he protects us from. I want you to remember that. When everybody's saying there's a fire on the way, oh my goodness, and you should be scared and you should hide out. No, you shouldn't. You should pray and you should say, Lord, you're our protector. you said these things won't overwhelm us, and we are asking you to send the rain, and he has. I want to say this, God's protection is for his people, for those who've chosen to follow him. And I'm going to wrap up with this morning. Psalm 91, going back, but going to verse 14. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. You see, this amazing protection that God provides is for his people who love him and trust him. And yes, I have heard stories of God protecting a completely unsaved person, somebody who didn't even know them. I believe there were people praying for that person. But you know, his protection is ultimately for his people. And so today, I've got to ask the question, if you're here today, have you accepted Christ? Have you said, yes, I want to be in his family. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. Because you see, that is the beginning to all of the blessings, the benefits, the great things he has. The beginning is saying yes to Jesus. Yes to the sacrifice that he made. You see, he died on that cross one time. His blood was shed and his body was broken that our sins would be forgiven and that our lives could be made whole. He did that. He paid that price. And he said, here is the free gift. Now all you have to do is receive it. See, the gift is bought and paid for. It's there in front of you, but you have to take it. Just like on Christmas morning when there's gifts there with your name on them. They're yours, but if you don't take them and open them and use them, they do you no good. And so how do you do that with the amazing gift that Jesus gave? Romans 10:9 says that if you believe it in your heart and you use words, confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. It's that simple. So you receive this gift by using words for what you're feeling in your heart right now. So maybe you're here today and you haven't yet done that. I want to encourage you to do it with us now. We've taken a moment here and we're just going to pray a prayer that lets you use words. There's no power in the prayer, but it will allow you to use words. And I believe this can be a beginning for someone here today who maybe has not done this. I'm going to ask my congregation to join with us, and we're going to pray this prayer right now. So just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I choose today to follow you. Amen. So give God praise for that this morning.